Our second reading, we continue the story of Pentecost, this time as Peter steps up to give the first sermon of the Christian church. We continue our reading with Acts chapter 2, beginning with the 14th verse. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Every time I fly out of Dulles Airport, if I have just a few moments, I love walking up and down the international terminal a few times. If you're not sure which one that is the one with all the flags, all the international flags hanging down. I believe one end has the state flags as well. But it is such a sight to see when you walk through and see an airplane coming in from Turkish Airlines with people coming out from Istanbul. And as you walk down, seeing that crowd interspersed with a crowd arriving from Tokyo. It is just so wonderful to hear all these different languages coming together, peoples coming together from all these different corners of our planet, from all walks of life, yet they are all together in this same place for this same reason. It's really a reminder of, in this broken and divided world that we live in, of how much we share in common as humans and all the things that can bring us together. Friends, the story of Pentecost is a story of people being brought together by God's Spirit. As the story begins, they were all together in one place. Luke presumably is talking about the apostles, but then he goes on to talk about Jewish folks from all over the known world were gathered together in Jerusalem because they were celebrating the Harvest Festival of Weeks, which is also known as Pentecost, or the 50 days, 50th day after the Passover. And as the 12 were gathered in one place and praying and observing the festival, Luke tells us that suddenly there was a booming sound like the rush of a violent wind that filled the room they were in. And at that moment, divided tongues as of fire appeared, giving a light to each of the apostles, and they began to speak in other languages. Of course, all this commotion drew a crowd from the other folks gathered in the holy city that day. And this crowd had very diverse reactions as to what was going on. A number said, "What could this be? What is going on?" But others said, "Hey, those guys just had a little bit too much of that new wine." But Peter jumps right up to the occasion, delivering the first sermon of the Christian church, the first sermon after Jesus' ascension. And he says, "People, this is God's Spirit that has shown up. God's Spirit has come and filled this place. Something new, something amazing has happened. God's Spirit has shown up." Friends, and that same Spirit remains here with us today. If you didn't get that from all the wonderful music we've been having, that same Spirit continues to move throughout the church, throughout each of us. It is never a matter of if, but when God's Spirit will show up. And when God's Spirit shows up, all bets are off. When God's Spirit shows up, nothing can remain the same. When God's Spirit shows up, shows up, anything is possible. In Peter's sermon, he echoes the prophet Joel, talking about God pouring out God's Spirit upon all flesh, men and women, slave and free, from every walk of life. And when this happens, the old can dream, the young can have visions, things thought unthinkable before. With God's Spirit, anything is possible. This is why in the Celtic tradition that the Holy Spirit is often is traditionally depicted as a wild goose. Because it is wild, it is unable to be tamed, unable and extremely unpredictable. When God's Spirit shows up, anything is possible. What Peter does, though, or as I said, it's not a matter of if, but when God's Spirit shows up. So God's Spirit shows up no matter what. The difference that Peter shows is that Peter both names it, he recognizes the Spirit's presence, and then he gives instruction on how to respond to that Spirit. That's where our role comes in. So friends, when God's Spirit shows up and then we recognize and respond to that Spirit, anything is truly possible. When God's Spirit shows up and we recognize and respond to it, frozen chosen Presbyterians like us can get up and clap and sway. When God's Spirit shows up and we name it, we recognize it, and we respond to it, a church might endeavor a new ministry thought unthinkable before. When God's Spirit shows up and we recognize and respond to it, a community might endeavor a very difficult issue concerning justice in their community. When the Spirit shows up and we name it, we recognize and we respond to it, a pastor who loves his congregation so dearly is led to a new call. When God's Spirit shows up and we identify it, when we respond to it, all bets are off. There's no telling what is possible. The story of Pentecost is also a promise that that same Spirit remains here with us, in this place, in all places. As we go throughout the story of Acts, we find that two kind of broad stroke things happen as the early church recognize and respond to that Spirit's moving. The first kind of general thing that happens as the apostles respond to God's Spirit and recognize it is that the dividing walls between people go away. That people are brought closer together, that just like I talked about walking through the international terminal at Dulles Airport, we find that there is so much more that unites us as humans than separates us, that we share more in common in our human story. Case in point in the book of Acts is when we first meet Saul, later known as Paul. Saul is on a mission to round up Christians, to have them arrested and presumably killed. But just a few verses after that, he is met by a Christian named Ananias who calls him brother. And they're brought together. The dividing walls go away. Such a powerful witness in the world in which we live today, where we're constantly being divided and separated from one another. The other broad stroke thing we see in the story of Acts as the early church recognizes and responds to God's Spirit at work is that the circle of welcome and inclusion continues to widen. The story of Acts begins with the, 11 apostles. They add a 12th. And then by Pentecost, we find that the circle widens to Jewish folks from all over creation that respond to God's Spirit. But as the story goes on, as Peter meets Cornelius, as Philip meets the court official from Ethiopia, and so on, that circle continues to widen to the Gentiles, to the ends of the known earth. Friends, whenever we recognize and respond to God's Spirit alive and at work, and as we follow it out into the world, our circle of inclusion continues to grow and widen. Friends, when God's Spirit shows up and we name it, we recognize it, we follow it, all bets are off. Nothing can remain the same, and anything is possible. Like Peter, may we have the courage to name and recognize and call our one another to follow that Spirit. And as we do so, may we continue to find ways to break down the dividing walls between us. And friends, may we find ways to continue to extend that circle of welcome until all will know that, until we see one another truly as siblings in Christ, and let everyone know that they are beloved children of God. Amen.